Brothers and sisters, fear no apocalypse. How close to the apocalypse are we this week? Considering that our national presidential election is mere days away, it may feel like we're poised on the brink of a volcano. In their document, Faithful Citizenship, the U.S. bishops have listed several public policy goals that will help guide Catholics in their voting. These are the goals listed: addressing the preeminent requirement to protect human life, protecting the fundamental understanding of marriage as a lifelong union between one man and one woman, achieving comprehensive immigration reform that offers a path to citizenship, helping families and children overcome poverty, ensuring full conscious protection and religious freedom, providing health care while respecting human life and dignity and religious freedom, opposing policies that reflect racism, hostility toward immigrants, or religious bigotry, establishing moral limits on the use of military force, pursuing peace, protecting human rights and religious liberty, and advancing economic justice and care for creation. In choosing a candidate, we must use these policy goals in forming our conscience. The option of not voting conflicts with Pope Francis and Archbishop Amen's messages on responsible citizenship. Whatever happens on Tuesday, two things remain the same. One is that every citizen of voting age has a moral obligation to vote thoughtfully and prayerfully. The other thing is that whoever our next president may be, we remain one nation under God, indivisible. Our unity is our sacred trust as citizens of the United States. Another idea that helps us to back away from the apocalyptic edge is that National Vocation Awareness Week starts today. As we consider who our future leaders should be in government, so too we encourage future leaders for our church. Pope Francis uses the term special consecration to describe the service of Christ that draws men and women to embrace the roles of priest, deacon, and religious. A consecrated life is the precise opposite of an inconsequential life. For those who feel their lives may be meandering without purpose or focus, a summons to deeply intentional living can be personally apocalyptic, but in a good way. Allow me to offer you the rule of three when it comes to encouraging vocations. When someone hears from three sources that he or she seems right for such special consecration, this sounds the interior bell that invites further exploration. So don't be shy about being one of those three voices for those who may be discerning their life's purpose and awaiting affirmation. All who wander are not lost. So have a conversation with your children and grandchildren, asking, what do you want to be when you grow up? And after discussing that question, then use this follow-up question. What do you think God wants you to be when you grow up? The focus is completely different. God has a specific plan in mind for them. And following God's plan is the surest way to happiness. So encourage young people to navigate life using their GPS, their God positioning system. Apocalyptic doings are also on the menu as we creep closer to the end of this church year. We just heard the brutal story of seven tortured brothers and their equally valiant mother. The story is infused with belief in the resurrection. At the point of death, each brother made a statement that declared his extreme faith. Their extreme faith goes beyond the competition we view on the extreme sports TV channel that has grown in popularity in recent years. Many adventurers are willing to subject themselves to strenuous and dangerous trials for the thrill of accomplishment or the adrenaline rush they get from the effort. Well, besides strenuous courage, these seven brothers had the help of their mother as she watched each of her sons endure a horrible death. Rather than see them abandon their faith, only confidence in God, in the God who transcends history, is worth that kind of risk. In the gospel, Jesus gives us the ultimate encouragement to live a life of extreme faith. Jesus told the Sadducees that they were mistaken about the resurrection. Their absurd story did not take into account the nature of resurrected life. Jesus, in effect, chastises them for lacking imagination because their argument is based on a view of the afterlife that is pretty much earth relocated. So using the scriptures, Jesus proves that there is a resurrection. But as to its nature, he invites us to let our imagination run wild. We cannot argue eternal life because it is beyond our experience, because it is mystery, promise, and gift. Hope always has a future orientation. We have confidence in God's grace to bring about whatever change is needed in our lives. And when we have patience with ourselves while that needed change comes about, we already have something of the future in the present. And even when all hope seems lost, the future remains because the God of the living rescues us even beyond death. We are headed to an apocalyptic life beyond death. The trials of the present cannot compare with what God has in store for us. Our attempts to describe this afterlife will always fall short. Believing in the resurrection is a grace and a gift. We do not manufacture it on our own. It is given from above. This kind of extreme faith makes no sense, humanly speaking. That is why the Lord encourages us, and we can weather anything, even the apocalyptic. So I leave you with these questions for your reflection and sharing with others. Our children just now were invited to draw images of what they think the afterlife in heaven is like. The questions for you: what gives you confidence in Jesus' promise of life after death? And how does your belief in being raised from the dead make a difference in your daily living?